Well, today is Father's Day. In Romans 8:15, it says here, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." Abba, Father. That's for all of us. Amen. We find that the Holy Spirit is granting us the assurance that we are children of God. And I think that's the thing that we've got to figure out and understand. And, well, we've got to come to, we're saved by grace, we're saved by mercy, we're saved by the blood of Jesus. And when we have been saved, we have been adopted into the family of God. And so it just continues to, like the dropping of a pebble into a lake, the ripples just continue to go out. So if you look at your salvation as that initial ripple, and then from there on, God continues to manifest himself in other aspects of your life and the things that he has accomplished for us to receive and to take hold of as we understand it and that we have to grab hold of it. He's not going to force it into your hand. But as we look at these things, and it's through that of the Holy Spirit, so as we think of this, that the Holy Spirit now is helping us understand that we are children of God. We find in the Arabic, Abba is the Aramaic word for father. So when we look at Romans 8:15, it's telling us that we are adopted, that we are part of that family. And it's not a spirit of bondage again to fear. As I looked at that, even just recently, and trying to get some thoughts collected here, and it's not going to be a long service. It's probably going to be abbreviated, but I want to touch upon a few things. There's two different spirits that we look at in our walk with God. There's a mindset of, in some aspects, people look at it as slavery. And there's others that feel of it as that of like an adopted son or daughter, that we've have an inheritance. It's two different mindsets that people can have as they approach God. So we can approach him as slaves in bondage. And I find this very interesting, where the Bible presents a view of adoption and uses it to parallel this relationship of God. And God wants us to have the relationship of adoption. The spirit of slavery views God as a owner of us. Now, I know we talk about being a slave, bondservant, all these things. And that we are to tremble and be scared of him. But it's not to be that. We need to find that he is actually the spirit of adoption, that God views us as a loving father and his beloved sons and daughters. And you know, in your earthly times with your father, and it's Father's Day, that hopefully you had times of bonding with your father in good times, that you saw your father in a good view of things. And those are the things that will remain with you, and even the bad things will remain with you. I was actually going to take a time and say, does anybody want to reflect on their father? You know, and I bring that up because it's been now 30 years since my dad's passed, but I can still recall him as if it was yesterday. And for me, I can't really come up with a negative thing of my dad, but I could come up with 1,000 positive things of my dad. And I don't know if there was negative things, probably, but it didn't focus into me to where that's what I remember. I don't know. Maybe God's protected me of that. I don't know. But I do know that I have thousands of wonderful memories of my dad that when I looked at, wow, 30 years. I can't believe he's been gone 30 years. That puts me back at like 40 years old. And I was 39 and 40 when my dad passed. And now I'm hitting that, as Linda already put me at, 70. I don't know why. just because my foot is like I'm on this race. I want to slow down. I don't want to cross that line. No, it'll come. But see, as we get older and remember things, I know in the younger, and I look around, we had younger men and families here. A lot of this stuff is probably really not going to pertain to the things that you see today in your relationships where you're at with your family. But I was hoping that it would trip something in you of your father, right? And the things and the images that we have of that. And so I think that's the exciting thing, that we can reflect upon those good times. You know, I've shared this many, many times about just having a cup of coffee with my dad on the deck of the back of the house, just to sit there and not say a whole lot, talk about nothing, but just have coffee. Go to McDonald's, get a coffee and an apple pie, you know. Go to some place and have coffee and a real pie. But it was just those times to go out with my dad. And then when he had passed, I had said this once that, oh, it was a couple of visits after we got back down there. I stopped at McDonald's and took him a cup of, I was kind of cheap. I only bought him a small coffee. But I did take that cup and I put it on his headstone where my dad was at, or at the base of it. I said, here, Dad, you know, having a cup of coffee with you. Foolish thoughts? Yeah. Craziness? Yeah. What are you, mushy, mushy? Yeah. Did it do anything? Not really. But it was just remembering of what we used to do as father and son. And so he didn't take a sip there, but I had a few sips of my coffee and just talking to him. And that's okay. I think we want that with our family. I think we want that with when our time comes and we go, I hope somewhere in my family they remember me, you know, in good ways. Right, Dan? Good ways. But I say that only because I hope then it brings up good things, good thoughts. And, you know, not that I met God personally, but my time with God has caused me to have good thoughts of my Heavenly Father, God. How about you? And that he's given me some good times. And I can reminisce where I was at in my walk in my life and when I became closer to him and as he became closer to really fulfilling that call of he is, you know, my God. And Jesus is my Lord. And the Holy Spirit is in me so that I can stay in touch with my Heavenly Father, right? And so we have this relationship, although I've never met my God, but he knows me. He knows the hairs on my head. He knows my next breath, my next step. Same for you. So he's a very involved father. And as our Heavenly Father, he has placed something on all of our journeys, a destiny that he hopes for us to get to. And none of it is in a failure. None of it is in an area that he wants to put you into to where you're not going to enjoy it, because he wants to give you the desires of your heart. He wants to make you pleased. He wants you to be happy. He wants you to have a fulfilled life. What does that mean? Each of us is going to have a fulfilled life. One might look at one and say, boy, yours is much more fuller than mine. How do we gauge that? We do it by different ways. But I think it's within the individual person of how you gauge your life on this earth and how God has helped you and brought you through these things, not as a slave, but as an adopted child. And the adoption of that, I've got love. You will find in families that have adopted children that there's love in that family, or they probably wouldn't have adopted that child, right? As the old adage, it's like, you know, think of some of those things that, you know, we're all born into a family, but if you weren't born into that family, but you were brought in from, so to speak, the outside and adopted in, they must really love you, right? To have you become part of them. Well, that's what God is doing with us, adopted in as children of his. Why is that? Because he loves us so much. He created us. He has a potential in us to achieve these things. And we can look at it as two ways. Either it's drudgery, and he's the slave owner, and he's just got his thumb on us, or he's a loving, caring father. Amen? And he's a loving, caring father. So we find that when we look at the process of the spirit of slavery, back in the Jewish culture, when Jesus was walking this earth, he rebuked that religious order. Okay? And those leaders, why? For they were instilling legalism into the people. It was all going to serve me because it's legalistically. We find that Paul would continue on and caution early churches to be watchful for the return of the spirit of slavery. In Galatians 5:1, he wrote, "It is for freedom that Christ has what? Set us free. Stand firm then. Do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." So we know that the world systems and the enemy and all this wants to bombard us again and bring us into a bondage type situation. But we've come out of that bondage and been released from that through that of Christ. We find that the contrast of the spirit of adoption, the Holy Spirit of God, brings us into God's family. Jesus invited believers to address God as what? Our Father. Our Father, which art in heaven. It wasn't like our deity, my master, you know, my owner. No, it was my Father, our Father. God explained his desire to treat his people as sons and daughters. You can find that in 2 Corinthians 6:18. God has made the spiritual adoption possible through faith and his Son, Jesus Christ. John 3:16, 18, "For he so loved the world." Based on our faith, our confession of allegiance in Romans 10:9-10. And we go on, we just read this, where God adopts us into his eternal family. He makes us joint heirs together with Jesus Christ, Romans 8:17. If children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together, Romans 8:17. Now there's a vast difference between the way sons serve the fathers and as slaves serve their masters. I want to look and see. We look at the things in the natural. Remember back in the day of Jesus, there was those religious Jewish people. We find the same type thing in today in churches, and we could call them denominations, right? A spirit of slavery is manifested in legalistic religion. We've got to be careful we don't get into legalistic religion. There are some denominations that are Christian that they will put emphasis on rule keeping. They instill fear and a sense of dread in their members. God, he's presented as a taskmaster who never quite is satisfied with anything that you do. The bar that these denominations and man, and say just man, puts out there is that it's always high. So people find religious activities to keep themselves busy. In the hope that God will accept them for their effort, working out that to what I do. Look what I've done in the church. I'm busy. I'm serving you, God, by being involved in all of these functions and things. And sometimes it might be put upon them. You talk about the yoke of slavery. That's sometimes maybe that religious order has put it on where these people think, I've got to serve. Every day of the week, serve. And it's not that. Even those who have been born again through faith in the Christ's sacrifice for their sin can cling to a spirit of slavery, never realizing that they have the freedom that is theirs in that understanding of the spirit of adoption. So we have to get that understanding of that spirit of adoption and what my Heavenly Father means to me and what you mean to him. So in stark contrast, it says here, and that spirit of adoption, the Holy Spirit of God who brings us into God's family, Jesus invited believers to address God as our Father. God explained his desire to treat his people as sons and daughters. We've talked about all of those things, right? So there's a vast difference between the way sons serve their fathers and the way slaves serve their masters. A stark difference. Slaves, they perform the duties. Sons, they will perform acts of love. You'll do it just because you want to do it. To show that love. Slaves, they will dutifully obey. The sons, they will gladly obey. Dutifully, they, you know, if you're a slave, you're doing it because it's of duty. But as an adopted, as a son, you're doing it gladly. Slaves are motivated by fear of punishment, where a son is motivated by love of relationship. See, and when I was speaking of that about when I, 30 years back, my dad passed, that it was that there, I think, that looked at me as like a son. It's just like you enjoyed being around them. A slave doesn't want to be around their owner because the owner is going to ask them to do more and do this. Are you done with that? Once you're done, get back with me. I got this. Here's your list. Do this. Blah, 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 blah. Now, when we're growing up, yes, we probably all had, back in the day, we'd call them chores, you know. And I didn't really have a whole lot. I know back in the day, we were city folk, you know. But anyway, that's that where I looked at that with my father, and I can compare my heavenly father so close to my earthly father, I guess, that it helps me. I'm sorry if maybe some can't totally grasp that because of different aspects of your life and how it was at that time when being raised. But, you know, I guess the thing is, because not everybody had that situation as I did, I'm not going to discount what I have with that of what my God or what my dad was to me. Slaves are motivated by fear of punishment. Sons are motivated by love of relationships. Loose lips sink ships. Slaves ask, what's required? A son will ask, what else can I do for you, Dad? The spirit of adoption changes us from the fearful slaves to a joyful son and daughter. The spirit of adoption allows us to come boldly before the throne of grace, right? In Hebrews 4:16, come boldly. We spoke about that. You have a relationship that tight with God, you should know you can come, and He wants you to be able to come boldly to Him. He wants to hear from you. He wants you to come and be there, sit there with Him, sit at His feet, whatever the case is. But your desiring is to be with Him. Many people, if they're raised in a religious denominational thing, they run from Him because they're scared of Him. Have you ever heard of things like that? Or, oh, I don't want to be in, oh, God, oh, He's going to see me. Well, He already sees you. You're not going to hide. And I love this. So the spirit of adoption allows us to come boldly before the throne of grace, Hebrews 4:16. As beloved children runs to his father in times of trouble, because of the spirit of adoption, we can enjoy serving God without fear or obligation. It's not an obligation to serve God. And it shouldn't feel like an obligation back when I was younger to serve my father or to help him or to do what he wanted. It was things that we wanted to do to please Dad. It was times that it was like, I just want to be there with Dad, you know? My goodness. Little guy like this, grab my bicycle and ride a couple of miles or whatever through this small town, crossing a busy state highway to get to my dad when he owned a gas station. I wanted to be with my dad. My mom said, don't! She'd get mad at my dad. Don't you allow him to do that. There was no stopping me. I was wanting to be with my dad. My dad would always look down the road, and here comes. He would just get a kick out of it. I know it's kind of dangerous nowadays, you think, on a two-lane state highway. But right along the shoulder, you know. And he'd get on the phone and call my mom and say, just let you know, Timmy's down here with me. But... my mom never, I can't recall being whipped. But it was like, don't you do that. It's dangerous. You could get hurt. You could get run over. True. Everything my mom would have been probably saying to me was valid, right? You got a good point, Mom. Yes, I'm just on a little bicycle. But the goal to be with my dad was like the goal of my day, just to be with him down at the gas station. Parlayed into even when I was 27, 30, 35, my last few times with him was just me sitting having coffee to be with my dad. And that's what God wants with us. God wants you just to say, I want to come and spend time with you, Abba Father. We can sit outside, we can be in the car, we can be driving, we can be sitting at a railroad track, we can be doing whatever the case is, but just to know that I have and I want that same relationship with God, my Father. And he wants that with you, right? That you just, where are you at, Tim? It's been a few days. Where have you been? It's been a week. Where are you? You know, so we always try to have that relationship. And I think as we look at Father's Day and what that means to us and relate it to the flesh and blood and then relate it to the spiritual. And so I've been blessed, totally blessed to be able to have that as an example. Yeah, my dad. But as I look at this with my Heavenly Father, this brings me, and then we'll ask if anybody wants to share something here. But because at the ending here, I said, because of the spirit of adoption, we can see serving God without fear or obligation, serving in our Father's kingdom becomes, life's highest ambition. Now, I hadn't planned any of this to figure out what I was going to share today. I've got some notes here, and okay, that Romans 8:15. And as I got to the end of this little thing here online, so when I got serving in our Father's kingdom becomes life's highest ambition, it leads off with a Bible verse or verse and location. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Turn there. And I wonder at times, does God really thread messages together? Even when, and I'll be honest, I didn't do a whole lot of deep studying to get into this today. But I came to some things online, which, praise God, it's looking online at some of these things that you read online is no different than if I opened up a commentary book on someone that has written a commentary of scriptures. And it just makes it really handy that it's on my phone and I can open these things up. So at the very end of that whole thing about Father, Abba Father, not slavery but adopted, at the very end of that, to serve him and his kingdom, right? Is that what it said? Okay. Serving in our Father's kingdom becomes life's highest ambition. And it segued to 2 Corinthians 5:20. 2 Corinthians 5:20. What's it read? My message last week spoke on 2 Corinthians 5:20. God had a way when I saw that, and I just didn't see that until just this morning. I got down to that, and I looked at it and go, wow, God, this ties into like even last week about being ambassadors for God. After I shared that message on ambassadors for God, probably Tuesday or Wednesday of last week, from this same place, well, one of the places I get, there's one place that I get like a daily devotional thing, and they kind of break down some stuff. But so I shared on the ambassadorship of us and what God looks at. But Wednesday, through my emails, I get this, and that particular thing at that time was sharing on ambassadors of Christ. And so it's not a big exciting thing, but it's kind of interesting that it's like that's when I think God confirms that you're on the path that he's wanting you to share in or share on. That because it doesn't matter what I bring out here, you can open up the Bible and read any verse and it's powerful. It's God. You don't need a whole lot of other nitty-gritty stuff just to share God's word because it is his word. Why can't we just take his word and say, that's what I want, put it in your heart, and let it go? So when that happened, I was just in awe, you know. It's just like, wow, God, thank you. And it was probably just for me to say, Tim, you know, even though you're a few days ahead, but any of us to be in tune with your Heavenly Father, that He is pouring out His Spirit upon all flesh, and that He's sending a message out to the church at large. And we are receiving these downloads in different areas of the country or the world or whatever it might be. And you begin to follow a thread of what God is trying to instill in His people. So it's not something that we, even when I think I'm randomly just going to pick up something in left field here, it's done in a way of, God, what is it? What can we share? What? Lead me, guide me, because I'm not a smart guy. But I know He's a God that can lead you and guide you and teach you and show you if you're just open to Him and you trust Him. Take the reins off. Let go and let God. Don't think we got to steer Him in the direction that we think He wants to go. He's already got it. What He wants to do is say, Tim, release the reins, and all you need is follow me. Remember the times I've talked about where He sees and hears us and things, and I get so close to God that I can tell what He wants me to do by the mere looking of His eyes. The mere expressions on my Father's face, because I could tell that on my earthly father's face. I could look at his face, and I could tell when he was happy with me, or he could maybe be disappointed, whatever the case is. No words are said. And I said, I want that with my relationship with my Abba Father. And so we can all have that, and I encourage you to keep reaching, keep growing in that. And he doesn't have to speak to you in words. He can speak to you with his expression. Now you know you got something, right? It's like, wow. And it's like expressions like when people start dozing off and nodding off, that's an expression that says they're tired and we need to end. So let's end. No, nobody's. God is so good. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you, Lord, what this means for us. And we want to put emphasis, Lord, that you are our Father in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Oh, your kingdom's going to come. Oh, hallelujah. But Lord, I thank you for a close relationship with you in such a way that it isn't drudgery. It isn't slavery. It isn't like, oh, I got to do this. I got to serve God. No, it's a time with, I want to spend time with you, God. I want to honor you, God. I want to please you. And Lord, we find those things through the word. Even Jesus said that he wants to bring honor and glory to you. And so we want to do that same thing, Heavenly Father, bring honor and glory to you in the things you've asked us to do. May you find us thankful. May you find us worshiping and praising you over and over and over, day by day. Lord, I thank you again for what you've given to each of us. And I pray for our fathers and our dads. I've got in my family, my sons and son-in-laws, Lord, and each of us here have people in our families that are dads. That, Lord, you will bless them in that role of a dad. It's a challenge, Lord. It's a challenge. It's been a challenge from the very beginning. But, Lord, just touch each father and dad and give them strength. Help them understand what it is to be that role of a dad. And, Lord, just bless them, we ask. And thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.